feel just like a rock star.
Oh my gosh. I'm looking at this. You know, your whole, you guys hold talk about the warden with McNair after the prison stuff. Lamont's got the picture of Shawshank Redemption where the warden with the glasses was looking through the hole that Andy Dufresne dug through. He just said, after Dwayne Brown escaped from the NRG unit, Bob and Cal McNair and Rick Smith investigated his escape. It's got Red and the one cop and then in the warden. That's pretty. That's a pretty good tweet.
Ever,
that might be perfect tweet
for forever. Him. They're all going to be inmates, and he's going to be the warden.
They got the perfect racial demographic. The older, the younger. I mean, this picture's actually. Stop calling him the warden.
He called himself that.
He did. Well, no, he just said they were our inmates. That's all.
Well, who runs the place where the inmates are? The warden.
Speaking of inmates, Vontaze Burfict got laid out last night. What? You know that game. That game was one of the hardest hitting. This is like old Oilers Steelers. This is like the Ravens and Steelers.
Oh,
from,
it was a body
it's worse though.
Game.
You know, it was funny after the game. They said, you know, the Steelers and Ravens who play this Sunday, they hit each other, but they've got respect for each other. The Steelers and Bengals now has become a bloodbath in which. And there are body bags. I mean, Ryan Shazier is okay. Apparently, word out this morning, he's doing fine. So that is a good thing. But he was laying on the ground. He had a hit. That wasn't a cheap hit. But he was laying on the ground, and they were worried, and they had to just stretcher him off. The hits in this game,
it was unbelievable. You know, one of the things that really stands out to me, I was watching some of the Green Bay game the other night too. So watching all this college tape that I do, the NFL is a substantially more physical game. There's just no way around it. I thought the Texans and Ravens a couple weeks ago was very physical watching on TV. Yeah. The NFL is just so much more physical than college. It's grown. There are games where people, you know, they get a little extra. They're going to hit you a little extra. That's why in NFL teams have to, they want to know how tough you are because it's a really tough, tough sport. And when you watch games like that, like yesterday, you're reminded, man, if you don't strap up and have some of that in you, it's not for everybody. That sport is not for everybody.
Mm-mm.
Because it is very physical in the NFL.
And yeah, and you better be a grown man. And that was the thing, you talk about the Ravens. Was it you talked about it, about Kevin Johnson? That how he was physical in that game. Mm-hmm. He had a huge hit along the sideline in that game. But the thought is, dude's really thin.
Yeah,
he's really thin, and is his body going to be able to take the wear and tear of an NFL season? And the answer has been so far no. And whether or not he can continue to do this week in and week out, this Steelers Bengals thing though is getting dangerous. It really is. There's a lot of talk this morning. John Gruden was adamant last night. I mean, the hit by Juju over on Burfict.
I mean,
but you know what?
Listen,
here is Juju after the game. If you didn't see the hit, he laid Burfict out with a block. Afterwards,
legal.
He laid him out. But he was he's running toward and trying to get Le'Veon and not looking. And it was a blindside block that just laid him out, and he was stretchered off.
Not helmet first. It was, but he leaned into it.
No. There's no question about that. But he stood over and taunted him, and this is what he was talking about after the. And listen in the background, you're going to be able to hear Antonio Brown.
I mean, in a situation like that, you know, when there's so much stuff going on, and I didn't know it was perfect at first. All I saw was, the first Bengals do that was in the tackle later on. So in my instinct, I got a block from my teammate, and me just playing ball, I hit him. After I seen the replay, I think I should have held back a little bit more and just, from blocking him.
I ain't sure. I got straight cash on him.
I also believe that that's not me. I should never stood up with him. I apologize for that. And
it's called
with that,
karma.
With that being said,
it's called
I hope
karma.
He gets better.
So what he's referring to is the game last year,
right? When Antonio,
where he got clipped by in the head and knocked out when Burfict came and actually lost the game for Cincinnati,
right?
As a penalty that ruined the whole game for him.
A couple years ago in the playoffs, right?
It was 2 years ago.
It was 2 years ago. 2 years ago, and Antonio Brown couldn't play in the next game.
Yeah, Bengals were terrible last year.
Yeah, And Antonio Brown couldn't play in the AFC Championship.
Well, Cincinnati was winning, and that penalty extended the drive, and the Steelers went on to win
right,
that game.
Right.
And knocked them. That was a playoff game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And knocked them out. Yeah, knocked them out. But then Antonio was out for the rest of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's talking about, karma there. But these two teams, this is starting to get, we love big hits, but you're right. This league has gotten so fast, so physical right now. It is dangerous, and these two teams are making it more than dangerous. That's the biggest talk this morning. I was at the banquet last night, so I missed a lot of the first half. I missed the whole first half, and I saw second half action. But I talked to a buddy last night who said, I watched that game. That was the hardest hitting game maybe I've ever seen last night. Dell, did you watch this game?
I didn't see the final hits. I saw the first three quarters off and on. It wasn't something I was focused on, but I did see enough. And whether you like Burfict or not, we talked about it a little bit before the show. I wasn't so upset that it was Burfict and anything. It was just nasty. Just even hearing the sound of the helmets clicking together on that hit and then the Aloka hit, it just
So is it Aloka?
Aloka lit him up.
Lit into, who was that?
Antonio.
That was Antonio?
And he held on.
That was a great hang on. But let me ask you guys this. Has it changed for you, let's just say since the last time we did the show in 2011 before now, how much has football changed for you? Because since that time, we've had all the concussion stuff come out. And I'm not going to lie, I do look at the sport a little differently. When I see those big hits, I don't go, ooh, there is part of me that thinks, man, that is,
no,
that's going to leave a mark. That may have some ramifications.
I think we still like the big hits.
No, I do.
Yeah.
But
I like when guys get up. I don't like when guys are laying on the ground.
I mean, I'm not.
But what was wrong with yesterday's hit, Juju?
Remember when Michael, it was not that long ago, that Michael Irvin's laying on the ground and the Philly fans are all
nuts.
Cheering.
Well, they're nuts, though.
But Juju's hit was totally, like in any year ever, that is just.
See, I'm not sure it's clean because there's helmet-to-helmet contact, and that's not allowed anymore.
See, I thought he was coming with his shoulder. I mean, there's always going to be your helmet protrudes from your head. I didn't think he was trying to target.
I don't think so either, but if it's college football, we know it's different. Juju's out of that game.
Well,
No. They'd look at it. They'd say it wasn't intentionally targeting. He'd get the 15-yard penalty.
But you wouldn't get a 15-yard penalty because if it's not targeting,
they
take it away.
Sometimes they do if it's hard.
It's personal foul plus targeting. Then you get the 15-yard penalty no matter what.
You've seen guys get penalized for hitting too hard.
No, but now they've changed it. If you call targeting and it's not targeting, no penalty, no, nothing.
What it is if it's just targeting and it's no targeting.
Right,
no
just play. Targeting,
if
right.
Personal foul plus targeting,
right.
Personal foul will remain, targeting can go away.
Well, and here's the thing is that I think you can hit blindside, but you don't, if you give some extra oomph now, you're going to get penalized. But you can blindside hit guys and do it in a way where you're not hurting a guy. You can do it. Now, Juju had a little juju on that. And that's where the problem comes in. But you know what? It was Vontaze Burfict. And guess what? You think anybody in that Steelers locker room felt bad for Vontaze Burfict?
No. Dude, he's a creep. Now, that guy is a personal foul guy.
Yeah.
He doesn't mind taking them and... He's going to be that guy that crosses the line.
He crossed the line since he was in college.
We got to, you know, if it's physical football and it's legal and it's just hard hitting, that is what you sign up for when you get into some of those rivalry games. What was the game? The body bag game? It was the Bears and like Niners or who was, remember that famous, I think it was the Saints and Bears. It was called the body bag game, I remember. And there was a ton of them back in the 90s, early 90s. One of you guys will probably remember on Twitter. And it was one of Ditka's teams.
Eagles
and
Redskins.
Was that what
bag.
It was? Yeah. Eagles Redskins?
That's what they're calling the body bag
okay.
game in the 90s.
Eagles Redskins then. But we've seen lots of, like the Steelers and Ravens,
yeah.
They used to hit each other like crazy. I mean, so my dad was on that Steeler team, and I watched all three, and the Steelers won all three that year. They went and won the Super Bowl, and all three of them were like three-point games, and they were all so much hitting.
Yes, they were wonderful.
But there was a level of respect for those two yes. teams, but they would hit, I mean... They hit
that's what
like
they were saying last
crazy.
Night. Is we enjoy it's clean. We know it's going to be hard hitting against the Ravens. That's
did you think
great.
It was dirty last but night?
It was dirty last night.
Did you think so?
Yeah. Well, Aloka's and Juju's hits are both. You know what? Juju's probably going to sit a game, and Aloka might sit a game. Gronk's going to sit a game.
Isn't he just trying to separate the ball? Now, Gronk was during that side. Yeah, that's a cheap shot. Aloka's trying to separate the receiver from the ball. It's a touchdown if he doesn't.
Not when you come. That was helmet to helmet. That was helmet to helmet. And, yeah, but you, a defenseless receiver again? That's the thing. Can you light him up anymore as he's catching a football around the neck and head area? No. The answer is no. You can't do that. You can't do what Aloka did anymore. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he's not sitting next week.
Is there any part of you that's nervous about John Tyler playing football?
Yes.
Is there?
Absolutely.
I was wondering, yeah.
Absolutely.
It's changed a lot, huh?
Oh, man. Yes, it has.
It's
yes,
changed
it
a lot.
My wife is convinced all this happened for a reason, and you know, he had to move on and hasn't played as much, and she's glad. She's thrilled because...
My wife is concerned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Man. Absolutely. You worry every time. Every time. All right. 815 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. If you want to get it here, more than welcome. Nobody calls except Gilbert. Nobody calls except Gilbert and Steve McKinney.
If you talk college football playoff, people call in for whatever reason.
I know. College football playoff.
Yeah.
No, you guys want to talk
about the
bowl
games. I like some of these bowl games.
Promise you this. Some of the people right now, we can get people calling in right now who will say, I want the NFL to look exactly like it looked last night. That's the way NFL is supposed to be. I guarantee other people do think like that. 713-780-3776. And I'm not sure if they're wrong. I just think the physical stuff has just changed.
Me, it has. For me, it has.
It used to be.
And put a skirt on. But it's like some of these hits. I'm like, oh my god.
I've never been a guy's. Oh, that's too hard. But just the image and the clicking of the helmets together.
It's different now.
Yeah.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. We didn't talk about this yesterday, but Gallery Furniture gave back the $10 million plus dollars that they lost because the Astros won the World Series. Mattress Mack made the bet. You buy furniture from us, more than $5,000, whatever it was. And if the Astros win the World Series, give you the money back. So Sunday night... he gave the money back. It was also the storm, and the lights went out. They had 2,000 or 3,000 people in the store, and the lights were out for over 2 hours. And in appreciation for all those people, AJ Hinch, Carlos Correa, Evan Gattis, Bregman, all went to sign autographs for those people that won and beat Mac out of all the $10 million bucks. But they did it where there was no light. There were no lights. All the lights went out.
So he was just handed. So they had to come to the store to get their money back?
They came to this. He was doing a big thing Sunday night. You guys all come to the store and I'll give you your money back. The $10 million bucks. Over $10 million bucks. So 2,000 to 3,000 people. And he invited Astros to come and sign for them as well. And he brought in food trucks for free food for everybody. The dude is unbelievable. But the lights went out. So they're signing autographs with people with their cell phone flashlights over AJ and Carlos Correa and taking pictures with flashlights just so people could. Those guys sat there and signed in the dark for 2 to 3 hours.
Well, they're not
on Sunday night.
Well, they're not Sportsman of the Year.
How about they're not sports? You don't think that they should win Sportsman of the Year for that?
No, JJ.
JJ raised $37 million. Does anyone know where that money is?
Shine stealing JJ.
The ultimate trump card. I raised $37 million. What'd you do? Win a World Series? Whoop-de-doo.
He did steal his shine.
Oh, you made a couple of
was
videos.
He on Fallon?
It was shine. He's not a shine stealer. Yes, he is. Guys, he's a shine sharer.
No, stealing.
Shine sharer.
Was he on Fallon last night? Was it JJ on Fallon last night?
Probably.
I think Fallon made the announcement that those two won.
And Altuve probably couldn't get on Fallon?
He probably did it on
Altuve didn't get, no, he didn't get the invite. No, it was JJ. It was JJ's hour. Finest hour.
Terrible.
What do you think of...
There's nothing wrong with J.J. Watt raising a bunch of money and
stealing
trying to
shine because he got on Twitter and made a couple videos. Meanwhile, Altuve's winning a World Series. Get out of here. That's like garbage.
That's a cynic right there.
J.J. should have turned that thing down. You know what? I did it for the city. It wasn't about being honored.
Oh, he did it for really? The culture.
Oh, really?
No, you did. You can't use that.
Yeah. He's one of your people.
Am I saying he did it for the culture?
No, first of all, he didn't.
The culture of Houston, what?
That's not how it
culture
works.
Map, it's the whole thing.
Get out
JJ's
of here,
not doing it for the culture.
He's not doing it for the culture.
Let me ask you this. Are the Texans doing it the right way with Cushing? What kind of message are they sending?
Trying to win, I don't know.
What, you're trying to win with Brian Cushing? Cushing's going to make any difference?
Brian got beat out, in my opinion.
Brian Cushing's going to affect winning?
No.
So why not just, bye, Brian, thanks. Thanks, bye, Brian.
Bill O'Brien
hope you find your dad.
Bill O'Brien did say he did make it sound like Cushing would be back and playing this week.
Yeah. Why?
I don't care if I ever see him again.
No. And if I'm the warden, I'm like, sorry, you get in the hole. Okay?
Strike one, strike two, yeah. For right, what? Well, you're getting paid anyway.
He's not going to talk to Brian that way. That's one of his trustees.
He is kind of one of his. No, but you can't trust him anymore. How can you not? No. You can't trust that trustee.
No. Young Metro,
don't trust Brian Cushing.
He does not trust Brian
Honestly,
Cushing.
Honestly, what do you gain? What does it gain to have Brian Cushing back on the football team?
Nothing. They talk about maybe leadership in the locker room, maybe a veteran presence. They're 4-7. Who cares? They're 4-7. Bernardrick McKinney. You know what? Bernardrick McKinney.
4-8?
Is it 8 now?
Yeah, 4-8.
4-8.
Oh, let Bernardrick McKinney be the guy. You're not there next year anyway, Brent. Like I told everybody, he should have been cut in the offseason to save that money.
No, they're not going to save money.
Along with the money that you bookmarked for Romo, you could have had A.J. Bouye back.
We're not
But
doing...
who needs A.J. Bouye when you have Kevin Johnson every, other game
every
playing?
Every third game.
Yeah.
We're not going to do it the Patriot way. That's not how we do things around here. Okay? Yeah. We're not going to cut guys before. Not white guys that we really like, that the fan base has loved.
Brooks Rude. Well, they didn't love that guy, really.
His hair's too long.
Does the fan base really love? I guess they do.
Yes, the fan base loves
Sometimes I'm in a bubble. Sometimes I'm in a bubble because I think the people who are hardcore football fans, they're not in love with Cushing. But you know what? The average fan actually really.
Yes.
Like, remember when his eye was bleeding and his nose was bleeding? Remember that? I've got it as my avatar. I'm like, yeah, that was like 2012. That was about 5 years ago, bro. He doesn't bleed from the face anymore. Maybe in here. He can't catch up with running backs to bleed.
He can't hit anybody.
Can't bleed if you can't run down a running back and hit him with the bridge of your nose.
You know who else doesn't bleed anymore? JJ.
JJ never bleeds.
You know what I need?
My
bleeder.
Heart bleeds for him. I need guys who
bleeding.
Are either bleeding or making bleed.
Yes.
Blood's got to be involved with one of my defensive
who
players.
Who was the heroin white guy, special teamer, that would hit people without a helmet on?
Brian Braman.
Yes.
Is that we're calling him heroin white guy? Is that his nickname?
I haven't heard that before.
That sounds like something you would coin, Dell.
Nah.
You seen that guy, Marsh? What's his name?
That's all I remember, but the heroin white guy.
Titans, Cassius March. No, I think it's I think he's Seattle.
Yeah.
You seen the guy who's all sleeved up, who is legitimately a lunatic. He's a special. Imagine this. Tat sleeve guy who is a lunatic on special teams. Cassius March is his name.
He's currently with the Niners.
Is he Niners? Okay.
Yeah.
He must have been cut recently. That guy is an absolute, like Braman, he's a lunatic on special teams, but apparently can't, like Braman, can't get in regular. They don't trust him in regular games to play regular positions. But if you want to run down, lose your helmet, and smash somebody in the face.
Yes. That's what I want.
I actually like those kind of guys.
Yeah.
But apparently, I'm like, man, he's so athletic and does this. Why won't they ever play him? In the preseason season, he must have been a slow processor. If they're not even putting him out on the field, like, we can't have this guy in a real game.
Not with the other good players.
Yeah.
Put him on special teams.
Cover. Go cover.
Run.
They tried to in New England the first game of the year when they had injuries and the Chiefs lit him up. He had no idea what he was doing. He was with the Patriots.
Oh, Cassius Marsh was with the Patriots.
And
that's
they
what
destroyed
was.
Him.
I remember he kept getting lost.
He was lost. Dylan, the field's only 100 yards long.
Chris Solis is listening. He said, Dylan Cole's brow looks primed and ready to bleed. Now, yeah. That guy is ready to bleed. Yes, he's ready to make blood or bleed.
A guy who's... Oh, Billy Lucci joining us on the other side. We'll talk some Jimbo.
And then some LeVar Ball, right? You want to talk some LeVar Ball, you said?
LeVar Ball. I'm not talking about that dude. Go take a LeVar Ball during the break.
He just did.
It was an aggressive second round.
That's terrible. Luke.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I always tell our players this. Change is inevitable. Growth is optional. We want to grow. We want to live in vision. I think when you live in vision, if you can't see it, you can never achieve it. I can see what we can be. I have a vision of what we can be. We will chip away and take the things away that don't help that vision. We will increase the things that help that vision and try to take Texas A&M where it should be, at the top of the college football world. I think everything is here. It's an exciting time to be at Texas A&M, and I'm extremely proud to be your coach.
His name is Jimbo, right? And that's perfect for Texas. Somebody said the only places where a guy named Jimbo can really work are down in Alabama and Florida and
Lions, Detroit Lions. Yeah, right.
But it doesn't make sense. It makes sense. It doesn't make sense up there.
Tell people about that offense coordinator's name is. Do you know what the Lions?
Yeah, it's
Jim Bob.
No,
it's Jim Bob Cooter.
Jim Bob Cooter. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Well, Jim Bob. See, Cooter. That doesn't make any sense up there. They don't get it down here, Jimbo. But Jimbo, as Dell pointed out, is a fast talker. Yeah. Jimbo's a fast talker, and he's the opposite of Summy.
Yeah.
Summy's a slow talker, and he wants to play fast.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Dell?
Yeah, Jimbo had the second to slowest pace of play offensively in college football.
And he likes, and Billy Lucci joins us. You know, Jimbo Fisher likes pocket quarterbacks. He's DeAndre Francois, Jameis Winston. He likes a guy who can sit, Christian Ponder, who can sit in a pocket.
Yeah, it's E.J. Manuel.
How the Ags looking on that front? Because that's not what Nick Mond is, though.
Nick Starkel.
Nick Mond.
Kellen Mond, yeah.
No, you threw me off, too. Starkel is. And Kellen could be one of those that can run. Kellen needs a lot of work throwing the ball, but it wasn't like this year they really got... And I kind of wondered why. They never really tried to get Kellen throwing on the move or anything like that. It was all whatever move, throwing he did on the run came when he just, scrambled out of the pocket and stuff. But he actually did a pretty good job of getting better and better at sitting in the pocket. He just wouldn't let go of the football. That was what was really hurting him, was his just inability to see the field and read the defenses. So, you got to wait and see over time if that develops. As you guys know, sometimes guys just don't have it. Sometimes guys are just true freshmen. And it's only time will tell. But Starkel certainly is that guy, pocket passer. And then they've got Connor Blumrick out of Pearland, who missed his senior year with an injury there and redshirted. He's a guy that could do both. I think they lost a commitment yesterday from Cade Fortin, the quarterback out of Georgia. I think he read the writing on the wall. They didn't offer him at Florida State, even though he camped there and he was right there in Georgia. They recruited the number one quarterback in Georgia, who is committed to UGA right now. It's kind of opened things up. And there's another guy out of Florida who's committed or he's out of California. He's committed to the Gators, a five-star guy that doesn't really, kind of for the same reasons y'all just were wondering about Mond, he doesn't think he fits Mullen's system of the dual threat because he's not one. I just have a feeling that Jimbo might go out and end up landing some sort of, high 4 or 5 star quarterback in this class before it's all said and done, and throw that guy into the competition with what's already on campus.
I think Jimbo's going to
go. See. We'll see, because for next year he's got Grant Gunnell in 2019, who certainly fits that mold.
Maybe he's
got to look really quickly at his roster.
Maybe he's got him.
He needs to add a stud to compete this year.
You know, you don't know that's for sure, because it was Summy and Noel that had. It's not positive. As I understand it, Jimbo's going to be trying to work that angle, as a matter of fact, this week and maybe even tomorrow. But you don't know that Grant is going to do that. Why did Blumrich not compete with all?
He will if they don't sign one this year.
Maybe not. Why did Blumrich not get a shot when the quarterback play was so bad at times?
I think it had to do with his injury. You know, he missed pretty much all of spring ball, so he didn't get, because he missed spring, he didn't get very many reps in fall camp in that battle. And then, you know, once the season started, he was just pretty.
Are you talking into your phone? Because it doesn't sound like it anymore.
Do what?
You're not talking into your phone. Something's wrong.
No, I don't know.
Oh, okay. So
in a dead spot.
Oh, so he had the injury in the spring and he couldn't catch up even if he was healthy during the season?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think they thought he was as ready as Kellen was. And then once Starkle came back, he was the guy that won the job, so they were comfortable with that. I mean, the thing was with Kellen, I mean, let's not forget, we sat on this very show and we're complimenting him. Right before that stretch of, you know, we complimented the way he played late against Alabama. We were talking good about, you know, he essentially won the Arkansas game with his play down the stretch. We were talking about the clutch plays he made late against South Carolina and Florida. And then coming out of that bye against Todd Grantham and Mississippi State and Kevin Steele and Auburn, the wheels kind of fell off. And by the time they played Mississippi State, Starkle was available. Remember, they put him in late in that game. They put him in the second quarter of Auburn, and they went. So I don't think they did anything wrong with not giving Blumrich a look this year. I think redshirting him was the right decision.
Just a bad
thing. The wrong decision in hindsight, and it's real easy to say now, is, you know, not taking Stidham. Because you go look at Stidham, and it's, you probably beat Auburn because they don't have Stidham, and you do. And you probably beat UCLA because even if it's Stidham that breaks his ankle, you bring in Starkle.
Yeah. Yeah. But Jimbo's a bad thing for Mond.
I think Kellen Mond, if Jimbo can coach him, you know, and train him to see the field and throw the ball, I think he can stand in the pocket and throw the football. There's not a rule that says he can't run. There's not a rule that says he can't be a runner. I mean, look at Jameis. Jameis is a pocket guy that could run. I think Kellen wants to be that guy more than he wants to be a
scrambling
run around quarterback.
I swear to God,
Luch, do it.
Every time I see him, I think I'm watching Kaepernick again, because he looks so much physically. He's linear. His game looks very, very similar. But see, here's the thing with Jimbo. Jimbo's not in the business of teaching a guy to try to be a pocket passer. He recruits those guys and plays them. So that's why I think it's going to be hard for Mond, because I don't think he wants to, well, let's teach you to get through these progressions and do this and this. He's going to go get guys who do that.
Yeah, he's pretty demanding of the position, right?
Absolutely he is.
And yeah.
So it will.
That's why I think it's interesting between, are they going to go out and get, you know, some sort of instant impact quarterback nationally right now, or are they going to say, you know what, we're just going to sit this one out and go all in for Gunnell? But I don't think they can do both. You know, as you know, John, you know, if A&M signs that caliber of guy this year, you're probably not getting Grant next year, which is totally understandable. He's got to get a feel for how much does he love Grant. And is he willing to wait, you know, till next year to bring him in? Or is there a guy out there comparable that he actually can get this year in short notice? So it'll be interesting to see where they go at quarterback right out of the bat, right out of the chute. Can you go into next year in Jimbo Fisher's system with just Kellen and Nick and Connor? Be confident enough in that to go, okay, done, I'm rolling with that.
Well, he's going to have to roll with what he's going to have to roll with, isn't he? And unless he can get that three or four star, well, but there's no guarantee, even with if he doesn't get a quarterback this year, Luch, that he's going to get Grant Cannell. I'm telling you.
No, but, I know he wants to go where Noel goes. I know that. Yeah. But let's see where Noel goes first before we, you never know.
Some other school might
enter into that full debate.
Somebody
right?
else but, might swoop in, too. You never know.
I'm sure everyone will try. He's one of the better ones I've seen, to be honest.
Oh, he's great.
But there's a kid out of Georgia right now named Patrick Fields, or Justin Fields, who is a, he's rated just as highly. He's committed to UGA and probably didn't expect Jake Fromm to have, have the type of year he had as a true freshman. And he's kind of looking, and Florida State was his runner-up, and it was because of Jimbo. So who knows? I mean, I think with his track record, he'll have a, national top five quarterback on campus in no time. And I think the question is, what you guys are bringing up, which I think is a great one, is that going to be this coming fall, or is it going to be a year from now? And if it's a year from now, I would still say Grant is the odds-on favorite. You know, he was on campus Sunday. But, like you're saying, there's no guarantee, of course, which is why if they can get one this year, they should do it. But getting one this year, I think, will be hard.
Yeah. That's Billy Lucci right here. How'd you like Jimbo? Are you in yet? You got all the inside scoop yet with Jimbo or what?
Yeah. I've been really impressed with what I've seen, both at the press conference and, beyond that. I think he's the guy. You guys were, when we were coming on, we're joking about, a coach named Jimbo coaching at Texas A&M. And there's some truth to that on, just taking it a step further. And, you've got the hunting and the fishing, and he drives a pickup truck and he rides, he comes to work in blue jeans. And I mean, it fits, man. And there's something about the fit, and some he fit in a different way at the time, because that's what A&M desperately needed in 2012. They desperately needed a personality like that. His famous quote when he took the job, if you're scared, get a dog. Aggies love that because they were, everybody was kind of scared to go in the SEC, and they needed his confidence, and they needed that offense to go with their talent, because all their talent was on the offensive side of the ball. So they needed a coach that could take advantage of that from day one. But I think with A&M, I think Jimbo's a perfect fit. And I think his style of play, Lance, you're familiar with that. And watching them over the years, like we all have, I mean, they've always played SEC football. And they really kind of play SEC West football.
Yeah,
it's offense, defense, caliber of guys that he should be able to recruit. I think certain people, I don't think nationally, I think some locally, and I think it's kind of a little bit of, that the haters coming out here, they're not giving this guy enough credit for what he's been able to do as a recruiter. And just seeing him, talking to him, he is going to be a tremendous recruiter at Texas A&M. I'm just telling you right now, he is going to be
He's got 10 years at $75 million. Better be. That's, all right, Lucci, we got to go. We're up against it. We're over, as a matter of fact. As always, Billy Lucci, TexAgs.com, your home for the Ags, ESPN 97.5. Lucci, we got to go. We appreciate it, man.
All right, guys. Going back to bed.
Cade. Look at that gift that Cade sent.
I see him.
Aggie football
talk.
The baby
falling down asleep.
The baby falls down on his face.
We've got a giveaway to do, gentlemen.
Yeah. On the other side, we're going to give away a lunch for 10. Me and Lance... and 10 of you.
It's lit.
At Damaris Barbecue.
We'll do that.
people got nine friends to hang, that want to hang out with you guys?
You can find nine.
You can just go on Twitter and say who wants to join us.
Take your fantasy football team. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
your whole league, you can do that. Make sure, though, that if you are, like, we just got this thing
if
of the
come,
baby.
Make sure that you got high testosterone.
Yeah, well, you can do that. Or this thing where the baby's falling down, this gift that baby's falling down asleep. Maybe you feel like that and you don't have any energy left. You know, lack of energy, lack of drive, whether it's, you know, libido or drive at work, inability to process belly fat into lean muscle mass, these are all telltale signs that you're dealing with low testosterone. And one of the things, when you start getting treated for low testosterone, you will get an immediate boost in energy. That happens within 3 days. When I first got a treatment, I was like, holy crap, this is unbelievable. And then you're going to start to lean down. And if you are a big workout guy, you will see huge results in the gym as well. But it just lifts a cloud, a funk, you just feel like there's a cloud of just sluggishness around you, and that all disappears. Go to menstclinic.com and go get tested. It takes just a few minutes, and they'll have results for you either there or they can call you back with it. There are two locations in the Houston area. One is at 1801 Durham and I-10. The other location is in Spring off Luetta, 713-568-1175. That's 713-568-1175. Go to the website right now, menstclinic.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Yeah. Y'all. Don't even know what goes on during the breaks here.
Hey, look at that. Look what I brought. Hey. Slang flashcards. I'll just randomly pull one out and let's see if it works.
What is it?
Well, I don't know. It's slang flashcards.
We got to give away lunch for 10. Right here on the show. Join the Runion celebration. That's what it says here. I'm Anchorman.
He's
I'm
Ron
just gonna,
Burgundy. Just
I'm Ron Burgundy. I'm just going to read whatever it says. Know the secret code word for each day and you could win. So wait a minute. Was there a code word?
I didn't get a code word.
I didn't get no code word either.
They didn't tell me about the code word.
What the bleep is a code word? What's the code word? Okay, if you call now and you know the code word.
What did Dell say I had? What did Dell say that I was drinking today?
Okay.
That's the code word.
All right, that's the code
word. That
shows
you were listening early, right?
All right, you have to be listening earlier in the show. What did Lance bring in with him today? Okay.
And I gave it a name.
And he gave it a name. Today's prize is a lunch with John and Lance at Damaris Barbecue. You and nine of your buddies will hang out, have lunch with the bench, John and Lance, where the best meat make the best barbecue. Damaris Barbecue. I don't know what that means.
Feels like a typo.
It feels like this is how they're all written.
Oh, it is.
Check them out at Damaris.com, Damaris.com.
All right, when are we doing
where
this?
Where the best meat make the best barbecue.
You and nine other people. Lunch with me and John.
Join the Runion. Come on.
So does it have to be the tip caller who knows or what?
Just no, the first just person? Who knows, the first one that knows what you called, what Lance brought in today.
Because that shows you were listening.
Yeah, you were listening really early.
We'll tell you who the winner is here in just a second. You want to give the number out?
713-780-3776.
All right, fire away.
Who knows the
answer? The lines are open now. Jose is in here because I asked him to stay in here because, Jose, what was the first thing that you told me that you introduced yourself to me? What was the very first thing that you said? I didn't even know him. I walked in, hi, I'm Jose. And then what did you say?
I said, hi, Hi, Lance. I'm Jose. I'll be producing your show in a few years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You said I'm your future producer. And well, I said,
is my mic on?
He wishes ill things on Dell every day.
I'm not Dell
you
anymore.
Know this, right?
I said, what's going to, well, what about Dell?
Oh, no.
He
wants
and
Dell
he
out.
Basically is unapologetic in that he's gunning for the number one spot.
Dell. Look, if I'm still producing your show in 2 years, clearly my career is not going in the right place. So hopefully Jose's right.
But you that there is some truth. But I think he just wishes evil things on you.
He wishes,
yeah, you do.
He wishes it would start tomorrow.
He wishes you needed boo boo juice.
Would you like to be our producer?
Yeah, sure.
No, I mean seriously. Do you want to be our producer?
Yes,
when
he does.
Gone?
He says,
of course.
When Dell's out, you want to be the producer?
I assumed that was what was going to happen anyway.
Well, you assumed, but here's what I found out during a break. Because Dell, you're going to leave on Friday early. Dell's going to go from that spot into work with Raheel. And then I guess Jose is going to be taking over on the board.
No, Tyler's coming in.
Oh. Yeah.
How did that make you feel whenever
it was devastating.
Oh, by the way, that wasn't a decision made by John, who kind of does the scheduling. John just said, hey, Tyler, you need to get in here now early while Jose was in the room.
Yeah, why are you discriminating against your own people, John?
Well, because you're like the Italians? Cancer in the locker room.
That's
that
not
always
true.
You're like putting tacks under his in his shoes and stuff so he can get injured. You want him to be injured so that you could take over. You wish he was laying on the field like Vontaze Burfict. Why did
I buried the hatchet with Dill. We're homies now.
But why did he go with Tyler over you?
Buried in his back is what you do.
Why did he go with Tyler over you in that role?
Maybe because I can't grow a beard like Tyler?
Well, I thought maybe you guys were close. Tyler was close to you. I was worried about Tyler.
John, do you just
Ozark
not trust
Tyler
him?
Coming and getting too close to you.
Do you just not trust him?
Young Metro don't trust him.
Young Metro don't trust you.
I've been producing your show for like a year now when Dell's gone.
Yeah. The best because
yet he went to Tyler when you leave.
That hurt.
That's not a good thing for your.
The only thing that I like about is when he says, I like your bangs. That's
I don't know what you're talking about.
Who'd he say that to?
He says that we make him say that on the show. I like your bangs. Because he sounds like him.
I'm going to pull something from the slang flashcards.
All right.
All right.
I'm going to see if you know what this is. The word is down. You see, there's a mom right here on the payphone, and she says, meet you at the motel in an hour. I'm down. What does that refer to, Jose?
It means that she is definitely interested in having relations with whoever she's meeting at the motel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Here's what the definition says on slang flashcards. In agreement with. I'm down. Number three, willing to participate.
Yep.
I'm down. To be on acceptable terms, I'm down with him.
Yep.
What do you think it means in this picture, though?
Yeah, he thinks it means relations.
No, it means that she's agreeing to the sexual.
Meet you at the motel. What else are you doing at a motel?
Why does it have to be at the motel? Why can't it be? Hey, you want the chicken salad for lunch? I'm down. Okay, why does it have to be? I'll meet you at
the
hotel and have sex.
This particular. What about the word? Can you use the word tool? Here's one that says tool.
Yeah.
What does tool mean? I was quite the tool in my youth, but sensitivity
what
training made
Dell
me a man.
Is. It's what you think Dell is, isn't it?
No, that doesn't say valued person. That says tool.
You think Dell is
stop
a
sucking
person?
Up. Why are you sucking up now?
Why?
Okay, after you wished ugly things on him.
Valued person.
Valued.
I don't have a slang for valued person. I don't have that.
My dog.
Big dog.
Big dog. You listen to my show?
In less than 2 weeks.
Stop, Vince.
In less than 2 weeks, it went from he told me he was the future producer, and now he's like, Dell's a valued
member of society.
He's after Ozark Tyler now.
Yeah.
That's
Ozark Tyler moved into
here. Yeah, he actually needs to remember the hierarchy. I'm not next in line.
Right.
Tyler's ahead of you, not me.
Now you got two guys to knock off.
Yep.
Full disclosure, Dell gets up too early now.
Yeah, he's lazy. He doesn't want to get up.
No, you don't want to do that. You don't want to get up and stuff.
I don't
want to
get up at 5.
Well, the hype beast isn't that hype.
No. No. How you can be hype beast? He comes in here, "Hey, there's really nothing to talk about in my segment."
Yeah,
you got one
segment. We're giving him a segment on a midday show and he has nothing.
Nothing. He's bringing nothing to the table.
You spit fire for one segment?
Oh my god.
That's what we just did, didn't we?
Not really.
John just made fun of you the entire time. You didn't say anything.
Lance had to pull flashcards.
I had to go to playing flashcards because you weren't bringing enough fire.
Come on, hype beast. 8:59. That was a nice segment. Okay, who won? Who's going to have lunch with us?
Some guy. I don't actually. The intern didn't give me the name.
And what was the code word?
Boo boo juice.
Boo boo juice. That's what Lance brought in today. Boo boo juice.
True
story. So they could. He could have.
So things boo-boo. Could happen.
He could have. Boo-boo juice. 8:59, ESPN 97.5. Preach on, brother.
This is ESPN 97.5.